Right, good morning, good evening. that's how good this is. I'm back in the next morning. Right, I'm just going to get my timer on, because if I don't get this, you don't get to home. So let me just get this right. Good. I got a message from Joey asking whether I'm ready. You know, I was feeling ready a week ago. And then when they prayed for me, I felt more ready. And then there was the worship. Now I don't know if I'm getting over ready now. what I feel is important is that I actually need to get to know who's in front of me. Now, I've been here once or twice before, but I actually just need to get an idea of, like, who are you? And I want you really to draw into this, what is happening now, because to some extent, I'm going to bring a message and trust that all of us move forward. But to some extent, you need to reach into that which Christ is doing right now in this moment, right? And it's an activity that we do together. So I'm going to do something. We're going to do it together. All right, are you with me? Okay, so first of all, I just want to get an idea. Who's been in Josh Gen? Who here in the room has been in Josh Gen for more than 5 years? Can I just have an idea? Oh, my hat. Huh? It's just an ancient congregation. All right. Okay, good. Who's been in Josh Gen like over a year? Just over a year. Okay, a few of you. Who here, if you've got the guts, just show me. Who's only been here for a few weeks? Somebody. Hey, there, we've got it. We've got a few. Come on. A few. And someone over there. Okay. Who's been here only once or twice, or it's even your first time here tonight? It seems like there's no one here for the first time. Is that right? Once or twice? Once or twice? Once or twice? First time? Once or twice? Twice. Okay, good. Sorry, I was looking that way. Anyone here? Once or twice? Okay. Good. So this is the old part and the newer part. Is that? Do I have it right here? Okay. Okay, good. Who likes rugby here? I mean, just get an idea here. Who's actually played rugby? Okay, who's prayed in the front row? I need some. Okay, all right, front row, good. Okay, guy, that's it, front row. Good, I like it. Okay, and I presume that there will be some surfers here. That was Joey. Who's surfing here? Okay, surfers? Hey, we've got more rugby players than surfers. We're probably doing both. Okay, what do they, this is probably, what do the ladies do? Like, what do you do in your, bike, who's cycling? Cyclists, lady cyclists. What do they, no, okay, men, ladies. What do the ladies do? Don't they have spare time or what? Shopping, all right. We pray. Oh my hat. The ladies are dismissed. Let me speak to the men, you know. All right, come on. Okay. Right, so what's it? Who likes chess? Do you play chess? Okay. Yeah, I like that joke, you know. I love chess. I love chess. I love it. I'm a one-wife man. I've been married to my wife 20 years this year. We've got a little boy. His name is John. John is 5 years old. We couldn't have children for a long time, and the journey has been good for us. I'm just building something in us, you know, finding the God of Abraham, searching out, how does this thing work? How does God work? I love rugby, but I also love the sea. I wouldn't give myself out as a surfer, but I can imagine it must be very nice. I did a little bit of bodyboarding whenever I got a chance. I love it. I love being in the water. So I love braaiing. I love playing chess. I love fishing. But you know, the one thing which you actually need to draw from me and find in me, somehow you need to tap into those things. I love it when we pray together. I just absolutely love it. There's something about a good time of praying together that makes me come alive. And I feel that there's something of an eternity that is unlocked in that moment. There's something So if there's one thing that you draw on or catch, maybe is a love to pray together. A scripture that sort of would describe that for me would be in Psalm 84, where David says, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in any other place." You know, like any other place. In that moment, just being there where the saints are together. Wasn't it lovely as Lovemore was praying before the time? But we can have that every week in principle if we gather together with others specifically to pray together. But I'll get back to that. Good. So, you know, I believe that one of the things, and before I go to where I believe, I want you to do an action now, right now. If you want to draw into the Lord, like into Him, in a greater way tonight, I want you to do a prophetic action now. Somehow, you need to make a movement saying to the Lord, like, "Lord, I'm drawing into you. I want more of you. I want to understand. I want to be a person of prayer. I want to have this vision unlocked." And God is going to restore vision, I believe. I believe that's something that the Spirit will do tonight. So I want you, if you say, "God, I'm drawing into this," which I believe you are doing, I want you now to tap your foot or take your chair and move it one, a little bit closer to me or something. But make a movement which the Spirit can see and you are doing. It says, "God, I'm moving into you right now. I'm drawing into you, Jesus." You know, it's something that unlocks something in the spiritual realm. An action unlocks something in the spiritual realm. And we can't underestimate that. The thing that we need to understand is that apart from our gifts and graces, there's an internal inheritance which the Lord has for us, which we access by faith. By faith, sure, but by prayer. And I want us to agree to this thing that it is actually the prayers that we pray that causes us to cash in onto something which Jesus wants to share with us. It's not the prayers that we wanted to pray, the things that we wanted to do, but the actions that we did. And so there's got to be something that we do after tonight in a greater way. And the Lord is going to empower us. I believe He's going to. But it's something. So what we're trusting for is an activation, right? A restoration of a vision that activates something, that causes action. All right. So let's raise our hands to heaven. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. And just pray with me. Lord Jesus, pray with me. Please activate me in a greater way than I've ever been before. I need you for this. Holy Spirit, we lean into you. Lord Jesus, we beg you, right now, activate an eternal vision in your name. Amen. All right, time is running out, so we won't... I won't be stopping much. Please fasten your seatbelts. Hopefully, I won't overcomplicate this. The theme tonight, or the topic that which I'm calling it, is touch, pause, engage. Touch, pause, engage. All right? It's something that I borrow from rugby, and I want to let's give it 3-4 front rows. Please come up quickly. So the rugby guys who were playing in the front row, please come up quickly. I want 2 or 3 on this side, 2 or 3 on this side. Okay. All right, guys, I want you to face one another. 2 props and a hooker. All right, I need one more quickly. One more on this side, quickly. All right. Gentlemen, you know what to do. All right, please, closer. That's right. Right, wait for it. All right, crouch, that's it, that's a touch. Pause, wait for it. Please stand back, you're not listening. Okay. Right, that's it. Please take your marks. Right, crouch, touch, pause, engage. There you go, thank you. All right, this is what I want you to see. Thank you, gentlemen. Just give him a hand. Right. Just give him. All right. That's it. Thank you. Well done. Right, something that I borrow from the rugby. I want you to have it embedded in you that there's something where the Spirit is speaking over Sunningdale PM, and he says, listen here, I want you to touch something, but we're engaging a spiritual reality. And it's a spiritual engagement that we need to. There's a touch, and then maybe there's a pause, like you're considering this thing. But then the thing that really makes a difference is how much we engage. How much we engage. It's not how much you touch, maybe nibble at, but how much we engage. The word says that our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. The word says that the prayers of the righteous make power available, something that hasn't been available before. I know I'm preaching to the converted. I know that they're, but I'm just like, let's remind one another of what our Lord says. And the reality is, you know, I can be praying these prayers like these weary, like, oh my Lord, I know you know about their needs, and just be with them, you know, these prayers, but you don't engage. Like, be with them, Lord, is like, actually, Lord, you engage them, but I'm just too tired at the moment. But there's something which shifts as we engage. There's something which we unlock, which we buy into. And we have to be a people that are engaged. You know, there's something, you know what I'm speaking about. I mean, like 3/4 of the room here been here for longer than 5 years. I want to address every single person, but you know what I mean. You know, engaged and not engaged. The Lord wants us to engage and remain engaged. And if we've maybe disengaged or become discouraged, you know? Right, we're reading from the book of Jonah. And it starts this way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee, and he fled to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship, and he paid the fare. He actually paid to flee. And he fled away from the presence of the Lord. Say with me, the presence of the Lord. That's where we need to be found. And he was fleeing away from that. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, so that the ship threatened to break up. Say with me, the ship threatened to break up. And that's where we will find ourselves at times, in a ship that threatens to break. The mariners were afraid. Each cried to his God. They hauled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone to the inner part, had laid down and was fast asleep. He was this amazing prophet that in the midst of running away, he actually knew his God. You know, this amazing contradiction. He was running away, but he wasn't afraid. But the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, sleeper? And I hope that's not a word for any of us, but maybe it is. What do you mean to do, sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. I'm coming back to that. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account. There's an account here. This evil has come upon us. So they cast lot. The lot fell on Jonah, and they said to him a very important thing. Tell us about yourself. That's what they told him. I said, tell us about yourself. Tell us on whose account, tell us who you are, what is your occupation, where do you come from, what is your country, of what people are you? And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then the sailors were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, are you out of your mind? What have you done? They knew that he was fleeing from the presence because he had told them. And they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may become quiet down for us, that the sea may quiet down? And the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, very important, pick me up, hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. Pick me up, throw me into the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Right, now the one thing that really brought me to tears at some stage as I was looking at this passage was, you know that Jesus said, this is the the man that will be the sign unto him. He said, give us a sign. He says, I'm giving you the sign of Jonah. And there's something about Jonah which is very, very prophetic about what Jesus would be, would do, would come. But the thing that struck me is this thing of Jesus taking responsibility for every single thing that has ever happened on earth and say, you know what, hurl me into the sea because I know it's on account of me that this has come upon you. And never has the creator of the universe ever distanced himself from a responsibility for that which he has created. And I want every one of us to know that whatever trouble you might find yourself in, whatever your family might find themselves in, he has never distanced himself. And he was the embodiment of this. I know that it's on account of me, I the creator, that what has come upon you is what it is. Now sure, I haven't made all the decisions, but I take responsibility. And I just want to remind us, I feel that we need to remember a God who never ever forsook his creation, that we had entire right to do so. But in any case, I was crying about that at some stage, just the amazing God that we serve. We'll get back to that. The first question that I want to ask, and I'm going to ask us three questions, so I'm going to make three points out of this passage in Jonah. The first thing is, who are you? Who is your God? And then third, pick me up, throw me into the sea, it will become quiet for you. Who are you? Who is your God? Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Now, when these sailors came, they said, Jonah, who are you? The first thing that he says, I'm a Hebrew. Now, I'm a Hebrew is a very important statement, not because just they were isolating themselves, but the word Hebrew actually means someone from the other side. And for some of us, it might not be that reality all the time, but the reality of every born-again believer here is we are someone from the other side. And tonight, if we are asking the question, who are you, who am I? We are someone who is from a different country. We're from a different realm. We are aliens in this world, and we have access to a river that flows directly from the throne, directly from the temple of God. We've got access to a river. We've got access to a place of unceasing love and unceasing intercession. Something on the inside that is just so otherworldly. We are someone from the other side. We are Hebrews. Birth of the Spirit. And it's crucial that we remember that. And then Jonah says, I serve the God who made the heavens and the earth. And I'm going to get back to who our God is. But for a moment, let's just consider who we are. You know, the reality is, depending on how we see ourselves, we pray different, entirely different. And I think it's good for us to remember that we are children of God. It's good for us. We are Hebrews by birth, you know. Born by the Spirit, born by promise. But there's something more, and that's that we are servants of God. And you know, there's a difference between, John, many times, he's a son in the house, and he's got, I'm convinced he doesn't doubt that. But he doesn't always see the thing of we do this together, you know, we're working together. And I want to remind us that we actually are servants in the house of God, that we serve the purposes of the King. We are warriors in the kingdom. And it's crucial for us that we know that to some extent God has bound up the advance of the kingdom into our behavior, into our activity for some reason. And then it's also good for us to remember that we are friends. And Jesus comes to some extent and he says, I no longer call you servants only, but I call you friends. And he wants to reveal everything that he's doing. He really wants to. With boldness, we can be tapping into that thing. Good. Who's the God that we serve? Before I go to who's the God that I serve, you know that as Josh Jane, we are utterly, utterly privileged. As born-again believers, we are utterly, utterly privileged. And if we remind one another, it's great that we remind, like, we are actually born out of such bigness that there's really so much which we don't access at the moment and which we forget easily, like tied down into the natural. But I think the flip side is so important. It's sometimes there's so much power in just confessing our weaknesses, you know? In this, who are we, is sometimes like that thing of, Lord, I'm weak. I remember one day I was in St. Petersburg. I was in a little congregation there. And as we were worshiping, I felt like I was in a ship, but it felt like it. The ship was moving underneath my feet. We were on the water. At first, we were in the harbor, but I could feel like it's this amazing, like I'm in the ship. And then the next moment, I was out there. We were out there. The ship was out there, and the ship started to sink. Jesus was in the boat, but I didn't say anything. It was like, Lord, I'm trusting you for the and everything. And you know what? At some stage, the Lord just revealed, my ship was sinking. The ship that we were in was sinking. But I didn't want to ask the Lord. And the reason was this. He showed me that I knew what his answer was to the other disciples. He said, where's your faith? And I was trying my best, like, Lord, I want to faith it. Lord, I want to faith it. And specifically, the context was for a child. We didn't have a child at that stage. But the reality was my ship was sinking. And at times, the best thing that you can do is, Lord, I'm sinking. Actually, I'm not making it. I know what I should be doing. I should be walking on the water, but I'm not. I should be believing, but I've given up. And the thing of, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief, is sometimes such a key for us to, like, where are you? Like, Simon, where are you? Adam, where are you? Like, you are not governing, you are hiding. You're covering yourself, whereas you should be free in my presence. Who are you? Sure, the power, but sometimes the weakness is key for us to be free and to be who we are. Who's your God? Now, my God, Cassie's God, is many times a small room-sized, sort of just a little bit larger than me, God. And the prayers that I pray reflect that, is I don't see the greatness and I forget it. And it's like, how do I remember who my God is? And one of the things that I was thinking is like Daniel, you know, like Daniel. If you were Daniel and a few times you had seen the heavens of, or Ezekiel, I mean, how would Daniel or Ezekiel pray, having seen what they seen, heard what they heard? How would they bow down and pray? It would just be like totally so different. But let's just quickly consider and remind one another about the God of Daniel. Daniel 7 verse 9 says the following. Daniel looked and he said, I looked and thrones were placed and the Ancient of Days took his seat. 7:9. His clothing was white as snow and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames and its wheels were burning fire. Now that God, the Ancient of Days, is that right now? Are we with it? I mean, he's not different right now as we're speaking than when he was revealing himself a few hundred years, 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. He's exactly that same God with the same fire in his eyes, the same purity, the same majesty. That is our God. When we open our, when we lie in bed and we just groan a prayer, that is the God who sort of decides to receive that thing. In verse 10, it says, a stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and books were open. And I just want to remind us about our God. Maybe it's something that in this week we can remind ourselves, or just consider it, that he's ancient, and he's pure, he's powerful, and he's passionate. And when he looks at us with burning eyes, there's something that he wants to ignite in us. And we don't have to live a life secondary to that. You know, what is available to Daniel is available to us. And somehow we can liberally reach into that throne of grace, you know. There's something where Christ has qualified us to ask for the extraordinary. And this is just a snippet of him that is available. I'm sure we could stand still and consider our God for 1,000 days and 1,000 sermons. But we don't have the luxury and the liberty. We did that during the worship. We will continue to do it. I'm going on not because we can't, but just because for the sake of time. The third point from Daniel. So who am I? Who is your God? And we need to cry out, Lord, show me yourself. We have to do that. We have to continually, oh God, reveal yourself. Grant me a spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. If I get you, then I get the rest. I will live differently if I get you, right? If we pray for someone else, I pray that they'll see you, because I'll just be walking different from that moment onwards. Third thing which Jonah said, he said, pick me up, hurl me into the sea. And just from that, I mean, the reality is, every one of us either is facing a storm or knows somebody who's facing a storm. Right now, it will not be difficult to give. I can pick every one of you, and it will be that. Yeah, I know about a storm, and yes, I know about somebody who's in a storm. And what the Lord Jesus wants from every one of us is that we need to lift Jesus high and throw him into the storm. I'm saying this respectfully, all right? There's something about taking what Christ has done. You know, sometimes when I think about the blood of Jesus and what Jesus has done, if he had to tell me before he did it, listen here, I'm going to give my blood, but now you need to sort of ask for the blood or apply that blood, I wouldn't have had the liberty to ask it. It would just be too daunting. Like, will you give your blood for me, Lord? I mean, like the Son of God, you know? Give your blood. It would be an outrageous thing. If God hadn't done it, I don't know if I could use it in my prayers. But the reality is, it's an accomplished thing. He has done it before I could. He was outrageous in his giving long before I could even think of asking it. You know, if God said, listen, the only way out of your prison will be that if you ask my blood before he gave it, I wouldn't be able to ask it. It would be like, I'd rather go to hell than ask you for your blood, you know? It's that I can't do it. But he gave it. And now we need to lift up that thing and apply it to every storm. We need to cast Christ into every storm. There's been a saying that I grew up with. It says the following: sacrifice releases spiritual power. The Satanists understand it very well. We should too. Sacrifice releases spiritual power. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the power. And our motive for coming in the gap, getting into any war, getting into anything, is this one thing: the blood of Christ that was shed. And I want to some extent urge every one of us that we pray with the blood of Jesus more than ever before. Cast him into that situation. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. It says the blood is speaking. Are you with me? The blood is speaking. The Bible says the blood speaks. Continues to speak. Speaks a better word. It witnesses. It's alive. Somehow that thing is alive, you know. And it's as powerful as that day when Christ shed it. You know what the agony that was in the Father's heart on that day when Jesus, when he was to some extent himself crucifying his son. You know, he did it at the hands of a Pharisee, but it was God himself crucifying his own son, putting punishment upon him, like designing the punishment for him. On that day, when God was torn apart in his heart, there was an agony on the inside. And that agony was a love and a judgment clashing, to some extent meeting. Love and mercy. What's that? Mercy and justice. Kissing. Mercy and truth. Kissing. It was possible to reconcile. And they were reconciled in Christ. But there's an agony and an intent. There's a love and a pain in that very moment. And we've got to take that moment and bind every need to that moment. We've got the ability to bring that yes. You know, to some extent, God is looking from heaven and he's looking for a yes. He says, this is my move. What is yours? And our move should be to bind every situation to that action. He says, God, this situation, he doesn't deserve, she doesn't deserve, but I don't deserve either. Lord, have mercy. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. The priests in the Old Testament, one of the things that they had to do is sprinkle blood. You know that? That was the way things were sanctified. They dipped and they sprinkled blood, and a nation was sanctified. To some extent, that's every one of our role, is we've got to sprinkle the blood of Jesus on every single one of us. We need that thing on a daily basis. And it's an action we have to do. Now, to some extent, my time is running out, so I'm just gonna run through this quickly and make one. I'm gonna highlight one thing, and then we're gonna trust that the Spirit of the Lord will do something great. There's a thing that we need to do to get a grip on praying and on praying together. or there are a number of things that we could do. I'm going to run through a list. If you're writing down, actually, it doesn't seem as if many of you are writing down, so you must have photographic memories or something. But in any case, if you can remember, there we go. You can get the notes there at the back. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. He's got the notes. I've got the notes too, by the way. All right. Drawing on the power of the Spirit of God. Ask for help. It's the Spirit that aids us in our weakness. It is God that wants to never try and bring prayer to God outside from God. We don't bring motivation for prayer by ourselves. There's no good thing that we have except from Him. And I want to urge us, if you are struggling with prayer right now, what you're going to do on a daily basis, lean into the Spirit of prayer, because it's He is going, we don't bless God by, or impress God. We bless God. But we don't impress God with our zeal for prayer. It's He who is working all the time. And we lean into Him for the unction to pray, for the urge to pray, for the desire, for whatever. We lean into Him. We draw from Him and through Him and to Him, you know? Okay. So we ask for help. Second thing, we make time. We've got to make time. You know, the reality is we've got to make time. I'm not going into details. We've got to make time. We've got to get into the Word and worship. But the Lord said, if you abide in me, John 15, if you abide in me, my Word abides in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you that the Father may be glorified. By this you prove. There's something that we have to prove. We have to prove abiding. We have to prove it. But this Father is glorified that you prove to be disciples, learners. I wrote here, pray with all manner of prayer, just because the Bible says it. You know, sometimes we get too caught up in like, how do I need to pray and how does intercessory, and it's like, it's just do something, you know, all manner of prayer. If you don't know, and many times I don't know, just pray in the Spirit. If you can't pray in the Spirit, desire to pray in the Spirit. Ask for it. Like, just do something. I know Will at some stage said, if you're stuck and you can't move forward, just turn around and move backwards, but just keep moving. And it feels to me like, yeah, that's what you do with prayer. It's just do something. All manner of prayer. Declare who He is. Get to like Lord you are quickly in your prayers. Just, okay, it's helpful. It's very helpful for us. God you are. God you are. Many of our prayers should be this. I thank you, God, that you are. Da-da-da-da-da. And then this is the most important point. This is what you have to get from how do we stir is we've got to pray together. I'm taking 1 minute or so on this, but here's this: praying together helps us with prayerlessness. Praying together reminds us of who God is. Praying together is the thing that the early believers devoted themselves to. It's a crucial thing. Make an appointment with someone you like to draw from on a weekly basis. Get a few oaks in a room with this purpose, praying together. Sure, the Lord will give you vision and whatever, but I mean, we're not there for a bribe. We are not there for a preach. We are not there for breaking bread, although you might do all those other things, but the main emphasis is I want to pray with you. The one thing that if you wanna like Joey said, some things are caught. If you wanna catch something from me, is this: we have to pray together. We have to pray together. I'm not going into details, but we have to be doing this.